Daddy's basically our best mate now, right?
Yeah, we're great pals with him.
So, although I have realised I just immediately said his name wrong after all we learned. All we learned last time.
Completely pointless, how, that last episode.
Was, absolutely was.
Darthy.
Darthy, yeah. Darthy. Our best mate. Best buds.
Yeah.
He got in touch following our previous episode. And, well, you'll find out what he said a little bit later in this edition of Nullpoix.
Nullpoix is shameful.
Nullpoix is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpoint is no fun.
Yes, welcome to Nullpoix, the Eurovision Stars Choice, it seems, of podcasts.
Absolutely.
They're all listening.
Especially those who are difficult to pronounce.
Yes.
They're the ones that are most tuned in, which is annoying for us in a way because we've got to try and pronounce the names correctly, which I have failed at.
Immediately failed.
That is Laura. I am Martin. We are two UK-based Eurovision fans. And as we say every week, no, we don't know everything there is to know about Eurovision.
Far from it.
But we're trying to learn and we're trying to get better at it. And hopefully we're trying to entertain you in the process. Still to come on this podcast, we're going to, of course, be doing trivia time, as we always do, where we do try and get a little bit more knowledge. We do have some correspondence to tell you about. But mainly, we're going to be trying to update you as best we can on what is now turning from a trickle to a flood of news about who is representing their country at Eurovision, with now well under 100 days to go until the big moment.
Yes, very much coming up to the actual Eurovision soon. Hooray, we can actually have more to talk about soon, as if we haven't got enough. But yeah, you're right. There's been lots going on, including, I guess, big news for UK fans, especially the UK. But I suppose you could sort of call this, again, our non-news of the week. This is James Newman, who was representing the UK for Eurovision last year, when obviously it got cancelled, is once again back for the UK this year. And it's been interesting, the reaction, Martin, that this has gotten online, because it was announced by the BBC, the UK, obviously, official broadcaster for Eurovision. They've announced this news on their Twitter, and the reaction was interesting.
Oh, interesting good or interesting bad?
Sort of mixed, and it is telling who's saying what, really. I would say people who sort of are maybe more than casual Eurovision fans were saying, well, you know, it's fair enough because he did represent, he was going to represent the UK last year. People who maybe are just fans of RuPaul's Drag Race,
right,
were annoyed. A lot of people were saying that the UK Huns should have been doing it this year. People saying, surely these girls deserve a chance, showing a picture of the drag queens in RuPaul's Drag Race, which we talked about last week. They did an episode that was all based around Eurovision, and they did a song called UK Hun and sang over it. And a lot of people, maybe who are just fans of Drag Race, saying, oh, they should have represented Eurovision, which I, you know, my sort of thoughts on that was last week that, yeah, it was a fun song like to go on a TV show, but it would have been an absolute cringy mess to actually have them representing the UK.
Yeah,
Eurovision,
I mean, you could argue, yeah, we've tried the kind of cheesy, let's almost poke fun, yeah, at what we think Eurovision songs should sound like. We tried that with Scooch. We went full, like, Scooch was full camp. It was full kind of ridiculousness, over the top kind of cheesiness. And that is what we'd get from them, because they proved that, but in the song that they did, you know, that they
completely,
that's exactly what they went with.
And I think that's what a section of sort of casual Eurovision watchers just think Eurovision is. And it's not at all. It's not, it's decent songs. It's songs you would hear in the charts. And you do hear in the charts because they make it to the charts. We did a poll actually on this. And we got, you know, a lot of people took part in this. We said, how does everyone feel about the announcement? 57% of people, that was the, obviously, the majority, said glad he got to sing again. So 57% of people said glad he got to sing again. 21% a little underwhelmed. 19% said would rather someone else. And this is my favourite one. 2% of people said, this is our year, Martin.
Well, hey, 2%. Yes! Let's cling on to that 2%. Now, here's the thing, Cress. Yeah. I know someone who knows James Newman.
Do you?
So what do you say that I send this person a little text now and say, can you put me in touch with
Mr. Newman?
You know that all his friends call him Jimmy.
Do they? Jimmy
yeah,
Newman.
Yeah, Jimmy Newman.
Jimmy Newman, Jimmy Newman, Jimmy Newman, we love you.
I don't...
Hey, Jimmy, Jimmy Newman, we love you.
Hey, oh, I was getting into it by the end. So what do you think? I'll send a little text, see if we can get him on.
Yeah, go on.
I'll do it.
Sure,
I'll
yeah,
do it.
Of course.
I'll
do it right now. He's doing it now, everybody. Okay, we don't know the song, of course, that Jimmy Newman's going to sing, but and it won't be that one. But yeah.
Mr. Trick.
But there we go. James / Jimmy Newman representing the UK once more for Eurovision. Most people think, he got to sing again. A couple of people underwhelmed that maybe it wasn't someone from UK Drag Race, but there you go.
Let's rush through a few more of the countries that have announced some news about who they're sending and what song they're going to be singing for Eurovision this year. Sweden. Everybody loves the Swedish selection process. It's very, very popular. Do they have a result yet there?
No, they don't have results yet.
Don't be silly. It's just semi-final 12.
Well, it's not as bad as Norway's, but we'll get to that a little bit. No, semi-final 3 they've had, and I won't be able to pronounce this right, but I think it's Tussi, and Charlotte Pirelli. They are through to the final there. So that's the third semi-final there, and there'll be another one to go after that.
Okay, Spain, and there's good news for our mate Frosty Tips.
Yes.
This is Blas Cantó. I feel like enough time has passed now for us to explain again why we call him Frosty Tips.
I would
Tips.
Say so, yeah. I mean, it's just because he's got Frosty Tips on his hair. That's
well, and
the reason.
He doesn't even anymore. He's changed it. Lockdown haircut. He's got rid of the colouring.
Oh, dear. We need to get with the times in that case.
But he used to have like bleached blonde sort of ends of his hair that he would stick up that I described as Frosty Tips because I thought that was what they were called. I'm not sure they actually are, but anyway, we called it. It stuck. He's now Frosty Tips and forever will be Frosty Tips, and he is representing Spain again, which we mentioned before, but the song's now been announced.
There was two choices of songs and the public basically had to pick one of them, so that was the whole voting concept for Spain's national final. Very simple, you would argue, compared to Sweden's and Norway's. Literally there were two songs, they had to vote one of them, and the public chose Voy a Quedarme, I'm going to stay, which is kind of ironic, really, as seeing as he is going to stay on and represent Spain for another year. But there you go. We could maybe have a quick listen to this one.
I'm going to go ahead and say fairly underwhelming.
Yeah, it's what it reminds me of, actually? It reminds me of Tom Leeb's song last year for France. Very sort of ballady, but doesn't really go anywhere. Sorry, Frosty Tips, but yeah, not very moved by this one.
Yeah, sorry, Frosty Tips. I'm going to stay switched off, I'm afraid.
He's going to stay in the bottom.
Hey! Let's move on to Finland, who always, I would say, have the capacity to terrify me, and they've done it again this time. really, just they're very angry people, aren't they? Oh, they must be, because...
Are we just generalising the whole of Finland here, saying they're angry people?
Let's assess the evidence. This is the song that they are putting forward. It's by a group called Blind Channel, and the song is called Dark Side. Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, they did. I get your point for this song, but I don't think we could say from listening to this song, oh, well, the Finnish people, they're very angry. This is the song Dark Side, it's called. And I don't know. I don't mind this. I think this is a bit more fun. They certainly do a lot of mad poses dancing about on the stage if you watch the video. What did you make of this?
Well, I thought that it was quite... it is different, isn't it? And the Finnish have done this before. I referenced 2004 and Lordi. That was Finland. They like their rock music over there. And we don't often hear a lot of rock on Eurovision. Occasionally you'll get one song maybe every couple of years. Maybe this is the one for this year from Finland. It's something different. It will stand out. Don't know how well it'll sit amongst the other songs in the lineup, but yeah. A good old go, I reckon. Well done, Finland, for being brave and trying it.
By the way, Lordi was 2006. It wasn't 2004.
Well, I was so close. You had to do that,
well,
didn't you?
Yeah, because people who actually know Eurovision listen to this and will be like, he's got that completely wrong there. And, you know, one of us has to be a presenter and producer. So as this is going on, you know, fact-checking and all this, you know, it's a tough job, folks.
I was just going to say it and just hope it was right. And
just
then,
dates there, yeah, aren't you? Just saying any random later. Date and thinking, I'm not going to pick you up on it. I am going to, Martin.
Well, great. Let's move on quickly from Finland to Norway. Now,
yes.
We've been talking about Norway for so long because the process to choose who's representing them has been going on for about 400 years. There have been so many different semi-finals. I have given up trying to understand what's going on. And Cress, I think you're coming towards the end of your tether.
Oh, well, I mean, I've been at the end of that for quite some time now. It's not just happened. But yes, it's been chosen now. We finally have a winner for Norway. They're the person who's going to represent Norway in the Eurovision this year. It's somebody called Tix. And that was actually quite a shock to a lot of people that Tix won, because a lot of people were expecting Kino, who have represented Norway in the Eurovision before, to represent them again this year. They were big favourites in the lead up to this final, but no, Kino are out. Tix is in. It's caused quite a stir on sort of Eurovision sites, on Twitter. Lots of Kino fans very upset that this has happened. So let's hear the song. This is called Fallen Angel, and it's from Tix. So there you go. That was Fallen Angel by Tix, who's going to be representing Norway for Eurovision this year. And we thought we'd have a chat with a pal of mine who lives in Norway, Uda Ottesen, who's worked at NRK and lots of other journalistic enterprises. And she's here with us now. Uda, tell us a little bit about Tix. Is he well known in Norway?
Hi. Well, yes, he is a really prominent personality in Norway and has been for some time. But he's been famous for party songs mostly. So there's a culture in Norway when you finish sort of college, high school, then there's a whole like ritual that you do where you get a group together, you buy like a van or a bus together, and you like drive places and party with other teens also graduating.
Oh.
And Tix is one of the guys who used to get commissioned by 18-year-olds to make songs for them, like party songs, and they're all about, you know, we're gonna go out, get really drunk, and meet little girls normally, and it's like just really, really generic party songs that did really well.
And so he wrote specifically songs for individual minibuses full of people going out and getting drunk.
Well, yes, it's all really strange when you explain it to like anybody outside of Norway. But, yeah, that's what he used to do for like years. And he's made so much money from it. It's crazy. So he's famous for that. And now he's trying to change his image a bit. He's been talking a lot recently about like how his personal life and his sort of struggles. He used to struggle with mental health and that sort of thing. And that he now wants to make his songs sort of more meaningful to help others. But the sort of the sound of them. Has stayed mostly the same.
Okay. What did you think of the song? I've been listening to a bit of it and I've been watching it as well. Really quite striking to watch. There he is in this costume with huge angel wings. He is chained down. There's a lot of bling going on him as well. He's chained and he's attached to these other people who are on stage with him. Almost sinister in a way to watch. But what did you think of the song?
It was a very typical Tix song for me, and I think a lot of the Norwegians listening would have thought the same thing. This is the Tix that so many people know and quite a lot of people love. Like, he's really popular among young people especially. But I'm not the biggest fan. It's a bit too poppy for me, and I thought it was a bit of an odd choice for Eurovision, but it's obviously, I'm obviously in the minority here because he won overwhelmingly. But yeah, I mean, it's gotten stuck in my head now because I've been listening to it this morning.
Well, then, yeah, that's it.
It's that kind of earworm that sort of sticks with you. But yeah, okay. I thought there were other sort of more obvious choices, but yeah.
Well, I think a lot of other people in the run-up to it as well did, because obviously Kina were kind of the favourites, I think, coming into the final. What are your thoughts on them not making it through?
I was a bit disappointed, honestly. I really liked the song with the Sami yoik, that they call it. It's like a recurring theme through it. I thought it was a really like a proper Eurovision sort of power hit with that bit of quirkiness and really like and culture in that. I thought that was really good. So I was slightly hoping for them to win, slightly hoping for Blåsa Mafian, who are, how do I translate that? Like the wind instrument mafia.
But the wind instrument mafia.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Why didn't they win?
I know. I was really excited about it because it's got a tuba and it's like walking up the stages. I really enjoyed that as well.
Well, anyway, it takes all sorts, doesn't it? And I'm just wondering about the, because I'm really always interested in different countries' sort of reaction to Eurovision in general. And it depends where you go in Europe as to how enthusiastic the population is towards the song contest. What would you say the Norwegian public's attitudes towards Eurovision is?
It is quite, I think it's very either or. But quite a lot of people absolutely love it, like get dressed up in their living rooms and turn it into sort of a national party. And some people just don't watch it at all. I think it's very either or, like the people who are excited about it are very excited about it. Yeah, it is quite big in Norway.
Do people take it seriously, though, I suppose, is the thing. Are they kind of having a bit of a laugh as they're watching it, going up, you know, occasionally laughing at some of the act, or are they deadly, deadly serious about everything that happens?
I think it's more on the laughing about it side. Okay. We're not, depends on who you ask, but I wouldn't say that we're sort of as a country dead serious about Eurovision. But no, we, like when Alexander Rybak I don't know if we'll be as serious about it this year as in sort of a party song guy going into it, but I might be proved wrong. I'm not sure.
I love that he's the party song guy. That's what we're calling that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say you must take it a little bit seriously because you basically had like four or five semi-finals and then a final. There are about six shows based around Eurovision in Norway. The UK doesn't have that.
Really? Okay. I thought that was just a normal thing.
No.
No. No.
Well, in that case, I mean, they've done it really well this year because obviously you can't have an audience and you have to have really sort of all the shows on stage are quite limited by the fact that you can't be that many people in a group at the same time. But they made an app for it so that you can like react as the artists are performing on live television. There's an app where you can sort of click on reactions and stuff to sort of get the engagement going, even though you can't have people in the room. So they've at least spent a lot of money on it and a lot of energy trying to make it as big as possible in that sense.
And finally, then, this is what I'd like to know. In fact, I have two questions for you as finally.
Okay.
Okay. First one is, what do you think that your chances are in Eurovision this year?
Oh God, this is going to be I'm going to be hated for this. I hope not. I don't think he's going to be very
bad. Oh, right, you don't. Okay.
I don't know. He is loved by a lot of people, but his brand is that he makes quite generic pop songs too that are liked by many. But I feel like a lot of the songs that do really well in the Eurovision finals is that they've got something quirky about them.
You don't think the massive angel wings is enough, and the bling and the chains?
Oh, it's unusual. It's certainly strange. It was confusing, and the demons putting up the angel wings, absolutely. But no, as like the song itself, I found wasn't as exciting as like earlier years have been.
Okay, that's my question one. My question two is: have you ever seen Alexander Rybak at any point in Norway without a violin?
No.
There we go. Point proved. Thank you very much.
Okay. What's the context of that?
Just, Cress and I have got a theory that that you never see him without the violin, and that's proof, isn't it? That's all the proof we need.
Yeah, no, I've like, he did a show at my high school after he won, I think, or yeah, I went to a show, I remember, after he won, and he was playing the violin for people, and he's got a TikTok account now where he plays it, so I guess he just carries it around.
I have a theory that, like, when he goes to clubs and stuff, they don't know who he is, and then he takes out his violin and they go, oh, coming in, come on in.
Well, he's got a very recognisable face, I think, but...
More recognizable with the violin.
If he didn't, anywhere outside Norway.
Yeah, if he didn't have the violin, you wouldn't know who he was. That's what I'm going to say. Yes, that's it. That was brilliant. Thank you so much for giving us a bit more of an insight into what's going on with Norway and who they're sending to the Eurovision Song Contest. And just to make Chris and I feel pretty bad about our lives at the moment, what have you just been doing before we recorded this little chat?
Oh, I've spent my whole day skiing.
Okay, thank you. We're not interested in you anymore. There we go.
What happened there? Is she gone?
I binned her off.
For God's sake.
No, I, people shouldn't be allowed to have nice times.
Oh, well, there you go. The lovely pal Uda there. Going to have to apologise to her there. But thank you, Uda. Martin, what time is it?
Well, I think I'll just check my watch. It's trivia time!
And I believe you've got a bit of a trivia nugget for us today.
I do. I've got a lovely little chicken McNugget, and it's taking you back to 1968. Now, I'm going to get to the big fact about 1968 in a minute. But first, this is some other information that you need to know about 1968.
Great.
So it was held in London. It was at the Royal Albert Hall, very prestigious venue in London. You know, lots of very big, important concerts are often held there. Extremely prestigious place. And there are a few countries taking part. I think it was about 18 in total, except... at the last minute, a 19th country seemed to appear out of nowhere. A limousine rocked up at the Royal Albert Hall, out got the entire Albanian delegation,
right.
In they went to the Royal Albert Hall, saying, here we are, we're ready to perform.
We're here.
It turns out that it was a whole load of pranksters.
What? What?
Yeah, they pretended they were the Albanian entry and... tried to get on. I mean, they obviously didn't,
no.
But they tried to do it. And then the big fact. So that's the fun bit about it. But the
so
big
what
fact
happened
is,
with them?
Well, nothing. They just went off on their way. But it's quite funny, isn't it? I thought it was really good.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, we're the Albanian delegation. Are you? Yes. Yes, we are.
Yes. Yes.
Have we got the song?
Yes,
we've got
hello.
The song. Come on. So that's happened. But 1968 was the very first year that the Eurovision Song Contest was broadcast in colour.
Oh,
just thought
fact.
I'd bring that little fact to your attention.
Lovely.
Here on Trivia Time.
Excellent stuff. Thank you so much for that. I really enjoyed that one. That was great.
That was good, wasn't it? Let's move on and let's have a little bit of correspondence. We've got some big correspondence today. We talked about this a little earlier on at the beginning of the podcast. If you were listening to our last podcast, we were trying to learn how to speak Icelandic and pronounce the name of the Icelandic entry, Darfi, which we can now say. But we were a little worried that we still weren't quite getting it right. But we have had, we've had the seal of approval from someone who should know.
Yes, Dorothy himself has commented on the podcast episode last week, saying 12 points on our pronunciation. So thank you very much, Dorothy. He also likes to clarify his relationship with his dad is very good. It's just a long name as to why he doesn't mention Peterson, which is fair enough. As I said at the time, it's clearly a stage name. So thank you so much, Dorothy. But genuinely, love that you listened to us like really fail at pronouncing your name. And obviously, we'd love to have you on the show. Do come on the show at some point, Dorothy. We'd love to have you on.
Yes, we will. We really would. And we will promise to pronounce your name correctly.
We will.
So there we go. Bit of correspondence. Any more? Any more in the old mailbag?
There's more. Oh. I was going to say, slow down. I mean, Dorothy's, you know, top dollar. But there's more because obviously we're on Instagram. I'll say what we're on as well. We're on Instagram, No Poor Podcast. And we had a couple of people commenting about that episode and us saying Dorothy wrong. Deuce Poor, remember them. Got in contact saying, you mean it's not pronounced Daddy Fryer? No, it's very much not pronounced
Daddy Fryer.
That's not how you say a name. And Jem the Hologram also got in contact saying, so shocked with that hesitation on the trivia, Martin. Hashtag UK Hun. I think he was shocked that you didn't know my last trivia question. I think it was about Ireland and okay. How many times they'd won.
If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you would not be shocked that I didn't know the answer. I don't think I've got a single one. No, I got one, yeah. But that was because you gave me a really easy one. Yeah.
It was really easy. That's why I was like, I'll give them a rest this week. But there you go. Do get in contact with us, Null Poor Podcast on Instagram. We're also on Twitter, @PoirNull. Obviously, you can comment, much like Dorothy's done, on our podcast episodes. We're on SoundCloud. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. All those good things. Give us a 5-star review if you think we deserve it, which obviously we do. And subscribe so you can get this nonsense every week. We're going to be doing this now, hopefully, every Sunday, because we kind of thought it was pointless going out on a Saturday before any national finals had been out. We realised the flaw in that plan, because every week we'd just be like, these will have gone out, but we won't know what's happened, and you will by the time you've listened to it. And it was a completely pointless thing. So there you go. We've fixed that now. And there'll be many more national finals to talk about, won't there, Martin?
Yes, there absolutely will. So please do tune in for another edition of this podcast. Apologies to our guest, Uda, because I got jealous about your life and I decided to kick you off the podcast early.
Love you, Uda.
And we'll see you again on another edition of Null Poir.
Null Poir! Just gets weirder and weirder.